Yes.
And though we're aiming to achieve only $25,000 in this fund.
We're 1,000 miles from comfort. We could travel land and sea. But as long as you are with me, there's no place I'd rather be.
Hey, it's Gracie,
Sarah,
and Josie
from the Girl Scout Troop 1819, Coxsackie, Athens.
And you're listening to
WGXC
ACRA
at 90.7 FM.
Keep on being you.
What? What's that you say? Everything sounds different to your ear? Well, that's because you're listening to the Battlefield Earth program every Tuesday night at 9:30 to midnight. And you know midnight, that's the midnight hour. Tune in.
Wavefarm programs are made possible, in part, by the New York State Council on the Arts, with the support of Governor Andrew Cuomo and the New York State Legislature, the National Endowment for the Arts, the Andy Warhol Foundation for the Visual Arts, the Greene County Legislature through the County Initiative Program administered in Greene County by the Greene County Council on the Arts, the Alexander and Marjorie Hover Foundation, the Foundation for Contemporary Arts, the T. Backer Fund, the Joseph Family Charitable Trust, and hundreds of other generous individual donors.
Network, this is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network.
You've tuned in to All Together Now, WGXC's regional look at the news from Hudson Valley and the Capital Region, from the Catskills to the Berkshires and beyond. I'm Tom Rowe, and today you'll hear all sorts of local news updates, weather, interviews, and more, plus community events and the song of the day on All Together Now.
This is the news. This is the network. Network. This is the news. This is the news. This is the news. This is the network. Network.
On air, in air, waves controlled. On air, in air, channel connection. And the moon turns to blood.
We interrupt this broadcast to bring you a special news bulletin.
Stay tuned to this station.
Stand by for news.
Direct via satellite from our on-the-spot task force.
Good evening from our newsroom in New York.
This is
Daily News and Weather Report.
We take you now to
this radio broadcast.
You are tuned in to All Together Now, a collaborative one-hour news show for community radio stations in the Capital Region and New York's Hudson Valley. All Together Now features contributions from the public, along with programmers at WOOC in Troy and WGXC in Accra, featuring local and regional news, weather updates, and newsmaker interviews.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC Hands-On Radio Daily News for Thursday, June 7th, 2018. I'm Philip Graham. Amanda Purcell is reporting for Columbia Green Media. The fate of the Hudson Development Corporation's redevelopment project in the city's first ward will be the subject of a meeting scheduled for June 7th at the Columbia County Chamber of Commerce building. Plans for development of the four-acre site at 1417 Montgomery and South Front Streets stalled last month after residents expressed concern over how the HDC was, and I quote, rushing to development, end quote, the property. The agency estimates the redevelopment project could cost $20 to $30 million.
Three developers presented proposals for the project in early April, but after public pushback, the project was put on hold. Don Moore, Hudson Development Corporation's Board of Directors Treasurer, said, and I quote, "Thursday's meeting will be specifically to discuss the CATS project, where we are and where we are going with it. We hope members of the Common Council will be there to take part in the discussion," end quote. The public will be provided with the opportunity to offer comment as well, Moore said. The Hudson Development Corporation will meet at 5:30 p.m. Thursday, June 7th at the Columbia County Chamber of Commerce, number 1 North Front Street in Hudson. And you can read that full story at HudsonValley360.com. Debbie Mayer is reporting for the Columbia paper. The Amtrak proposal to install fences and gates along its right-of-way at the Hudson River between Stuyvesant and Rhinecliff has been slowed as a result of public opposition to the project. The railroad cited safety concerns as the reason for installing the barrier, but Germantown and other communities that border the river were concerned the project would block access for recreation, fishing, fire protection, and rescue. A public comment period began in March and ended May 1st. A meeting on the issue organized by U.S. Representative John Faso took place on April 24th with representatives of Amtrak, the State Department of State, State Department of Transportation, along with the state and local officials. As a result of that meeting, Amtrak agreed to hold informational meetings with each affected municipality to explain their fencing plan in detail and to hear from various Riverfront stakeholders. Those meetings have yet to be scheduled. And you can read that full story in the Columbia paper. The New York State Police announced June 6 the appointment of Captain Catherine M. Rode as the new Troop K Zone 1 Commander and Lieutenant David W. Kolb as the Zone 1 Lieutenant. Troop K Zone 1 maintains 5 barracks, including satellite installations, serving 24 towns and 7 villages in Columbia and northern Dutchess County. Rode's assignment was effective May 28. Kolb assumed his new duties in April. Rode has been with the state police since 1999, and during her career she worked various units, including protective service, internal affairs, and computer crimes. Rode was promoted to the rank of captain in 2017. Kolb became a trooper in 1993. He is the former station commander of both the Rhinebeck and the Livingston Barracks. And you can read the full press release at the WCTW-FM website. Bethany Bump is reporting for the Times Union. 3 hospitals located in the Capital Region will receive $4.9 million in state funds to help at-risk community members detect cancer early or reduce their risk for it altogether. St. Peter's Hospital in Albany, St. Mary's Healthcare in Amsterdam, and Glens Falls Hospital are among nearly 24 entities statewide to receive the funds. Governor Andrew Cuomo announced on June 6th a total of nearly $44 million will be awarded over the next 5 years as part of a statewide effort to reduce disparities in breast, cervical, and colorectal cancer rates and deaths. The 3 regional facilities will now offer free cancer screening to the uninsured or underinsured living below the federal poverty line. Eligible patients will receive diagnostic follow-up services. The funds are awarded through the New York State Cancer Service Program. And you can read that full story in the Times Union. And that wraps up the WGXE Hands-On Radio Daily News for today, Thursday, the 7th day of June, 2018. From the WGXE Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day and a pleasant tomorrow. WGXE Newsroom. This is the WGXE Late Afternoon Weather Report. The National Weather Service in Albany is predicting a partly sunny afternoon with a temperature high near 71 degrees, a south wind around 9 miles an hour. For tonight, patchy fog after 5 a.m., otherwise partly cloudy with a low around 54 degrees. The forecast for the next 2 days, on Friday, patchy fog before 8 a.m., otherwise mostly sunny with a high near 77. Friday night, partly cloudy with a low around 54. On Saturday, partly sunny with a high near 77 degrees. And on Saturday night, partly cloudy with a low around 53. This has been the WGXE Hands-On Radio Afternoon Weather Update. Next, we have these reports.
Black history is happening every day. It's time to start thinking of it outside of a day or a week or a month. We hope to inspire you by enlightening you with those people and events that should be learned from and forever remembered.
Today is June 7th. On this day in 1958, the critically acclaimed singer, songwriter, and instrumentalist Prince Rogers Nelson was born in Minneapolis, Minnesota. Signing with Warner Brothers by the age of 18, Prince insisted on the right to produce his own music. With this wide range of musical styles, including R&B, rock, funk, new wave, and psychedelic, he sold over 100 million albums worldwide.
Achievements and events are not confined to the past. Make sure to etch your own path in the pantheon of human history. This has been Black History Month 365. Bam! 365, where you find every day Black history is made.
WGXC is a community conversation among 100, 150 different local programmers, and the guests they bring on the air, the people who call in and have their say. Anybody can participate in WGXC, this community conversation. And that's why we're asking for your help at 518-697-7400 or go online to wgxc.org. Make a call. Make a donation. Do what you can. You can help behind the scenes if you don't have money to give. We could always use volunteers to help answer the phones, to help produce local radio, to put local community events on the community calendar. You can do that yourself. If you got your own community event, you can make sure you get it announced on the radio. Just go to wgxc.org, click on the community calendar, and click on add an event. It's right at the top of the page. You click on add an event, and then you just copy and paste the information about your event in the blanks. And soon, folks like me are reading your event on the radio. Folks around the world are seeing it online at wgxc.org in the community calendar. We are counting the ways you, the listener, benefit from there being a community radio station in this area. How about election time? Where do you hear more interviews with local politicians who are trying to get elected than on WGXC? How many interviews, I can't even count how many interviews there have been with the local Democrats. There's seven of them running to replace Representative John Faso in November. There's a couple independents too, and these candidates get access to the airwaves here so you can make a decision on which one you want to vote for. We have weekly news reports about what Representative Congressperson John Faso, the Republican from Kinderhook, has been voting on in the past week, or what he's been saying in press releases and speeches and interviews. So you can make a decision when it comes to election time about whether you want to retain his services or find someone different. WGXC gives you information so you can make choices. So you can be informed when you talk to your friends and neighbors. It's just a soapbox. It's just a framework. It's just a platform. I'm sure you ascribe certain ideas, certain values to WGXC, but don't. It's an empty cup waiting for you, the community, to fill it up. You need to have your say, and you need a place to have your say. And you may not want to say something. You may be part of some sort of silent majority or silent minority or other such construct. But don't you think it's important that there is a place in this community for people from different points of view to have a place to say them? Don't you like overhearing the discussions of young people who maybe you don't know, but you are paying for their school. Your local taxes are going, property taxes are going to those school districts. Isn't it important to hear what's happening with local? Here's an interview from our partners at WOOCLP from the Sanctuary for Media Art in Troy, New York. You can go to the SoundCloud page for Media Sanctuary or look up the Sanctuary for Media Art webpage or Facebook page online for more information or to hear the complete interview.
Thousands of people across 30 different cities are expected to participate in protests Friday against the Trump administration's zero-tolerance policy on families caught illegally entering in the U.S. More than 30 people protested at a rally in Albany at the federal courthouse called by families blog together in response to the Trump administration's quote-unquote inhumane decision to start separating families caught crossing the border, a break with a longtime immigration policy of allowing families to stay together while their cases are processed. We first hear from Jody Smits-Anderson, followed by Melanie Trimble of the New York Civil Liberties Union, along with several participants who spoke out.
Today, our community joins hundreds of other communities across the country in standing up for families. Under President Trump's administration, ICE, Border Patrol, and other agencies are taking the children of immigrants and asylum seekers and sending them to faraway detention centers. I can't imagine, and I ask you to try to imagine, fleeing your home country, enduring a long and dangerous journey to the United States where you want help with your infant, only to have that child ripped from your arms and to not even be told where that child is being taken or when you will see them again. As a sustainability person, I'm going to add in a thought. Resiliency is about the fabric of community. These people have come here to preserve that fabric only to have it torn apart. That's why earlier this year, ACLU attorneys filed a federal lawsuit challenging the Trump administration's practice of forcibly separating asylum-seeking parents and their young children, and why we are raising our voices against key actors who are carrying out Trump's family separation order, ICE and U.S. attorneys. ICE apprehends and separates families while U.S. attorneys enforce the separation in legal proceedings. If enough of us make our voices heard loudly, so it's time to not be quiet anymore, then we'll have a chance to stop Trump from tearing immigrant families apart in the first place because hashtag families belong together. Now we're going to do a few quick things to ensure this action has success. We're going to take that group photo. We're going to take more group photos.
That was Jody Smits-Anderson. So next we talk to Melanie Trimble. Melanie, why don't you give us your title and, you know, what are some of your thoughts about the issue of the separating children from immigrant parents?
I'm the chapter director for the New York Civil Liberties Union in the Capital Region chapter. And, you know, the ACLU is just appalled that the Trump administration is tearing children from their parents during a deportation issue when nothing has been resolved and the cases will be pending. So they're currently considering all of their legal options to see what can be done to stop such a heinous policy from destroying families. Just imagine that your child is wrested from your arms and move to a place that that is not disclosed to you. I mean, it's incredible that this administration could be so cruel.
Maybe you jumped an issue I know that you guys have also been involved with, and that's been Rensselaer County on the immigration issue. Where is that standing at the moment? I believe Rensselaer County is the one county that's agreed to participate in the 287D program.
Yeah, 287G, yeah. The Rensselaer County Sheriff is planning on, or has signed an agreement to deputize two of their corrections officers in the jail to help ICE agents enforce immigration law. And it's a serious concern. It sends a very chilling effect to the community that Rensselaer is not a welcoming community, that they are after immigrants and vilifying their presence in the county when they've been only contributors to a very fragile economy. And so we are working with the sheriff to try and discourage him from continuing participation in the program. We're hoping that he, in fact, does not follow through and train his officers and allows people to, the Rensselaer County, to be a welcoming community.
Thank you, Melanie Trimble.
Healing, open doors, migrants bring our country more. Offer healing, open doors, migrants bring our country more.
Families together belong, child removals are wrong. Families together belong, child removals are wrong. Families together belong, child removals are wrong.
Coming across the border, she made it all the way from Guatemala. She was young, she was loved by her family, and she was sought for no reason. She was unarmed. She was just trying to get refugee status in this country. And I don't think this is what we stand for. I cannot believe that I live in a country that would do such a thing. An unarmed young woman who fled Guatemala for some level of refugee, some kind of level of safety. She made it all the way through Mexico. She got here, and they shot her at the border.
5-year-old twins, and every day on my way home, I feel like NPR has had pretty good coverage of this issue, and every day I'm tearing up in my car on the way home, thinking about, you guys are parents and grandparents, and you have nieces and nephews, and I cannot imagine being out there, coming to this new place, really under any circumstances, having my kids taken away from me. And it seems to me like there's a lot that's messed up with our immigration system right now, but this is really like above and beyond. I think reasonable people can disagree on the details of immigration. I think that nobody can disagree with what's happening now, with separating families out, taking children away from their families. I mean, that's like real evil stuff. And I don't think that there's any excuse. I think the left and the right, everybody should be on board with this. There's no excuse for it, and I feel like we've got to get out here like this. You've got to call your representatives. I called John Faso yesterday, left messages in two of his offices. We've got it. Like, this is a big deal. This is like Nazi-level evil stuff, and this is not something that we can let go or just kind of hang back. Like, we got to be out here and think of your kids, think of your grandkids, and let's not let this stop. Let's keep on with this. E. Hoffman.
I am not one of those old lefties who's been on 100 marches. In fact, I was a Republican until about a year ago. But when I heard about this new policy, it made me literally sick. I used to hate it when left-wingers would accuse the United States of crimes against humanity. Well, this is a crime against humanity.
The Guantanamo issue affected me a lot, that combatants were being brought to the country and tortured and put in solitary confinement. And to me, just by way of comparison, this is the torture of children, which is quite another level than torture arising from war. And so I'm just aggrieved that it's gone this far. It's lifelong damage to these people unless they get tons of help. And I couldn't not come out today. So thank you so much for being here.
Thank you. Her mother is half Mexican and her father is an immigrant.
and he wasn't treated that great in San Antonio, and San Francisco was a good place for him, comparatively speaking, not perfect. And my daughter, you know, she gets followed in stores regularly, you know, when she's just trying to shop or whatever. This is normal in the United States. We expect it. But I worry. She's out in California. She's right by the farms in Northern California. I worry, what if there's a sweep? She looks Mexican. What if she lost her, you know, driver's license? Then what? You know, I think this is something that makes people of color in general very frightened in particular. Anybody who looks like a stereotypical immigrant, of course, anybody can be an immigrant. I could be an immigrant. You could be an immigrant. But in terms of sweeps, they tend to target folks of color. And both my children could be targeted just on how they look. It's interesting because my son, who's also the son of an immigrant, works in Silicon Valley, and Silicon Valley actually stood up for immigrant rights because they depend so much on people who come from outside this country. Well, you know, our farmers also depend so much on people from outside this country. We're looking at agriculture possibly collapsing, but we pursue these ridiculous policies off this flagrant, self-destructive racism. And so I just had to say that this is a fear wave, not just for people who are being separated from their kids, but also for anybody who's a family member, who's a mother, who's an uncle of a person who might be stereotyped as being an immigrant. We're all frightened. Thank you.
Hi, my name's Karen. I'm a family therapist in private practice here in the Albany area. I spend every day trying to keep families together and trying to help families heal from the kinds of trauma that are being caused at the border right now. Separation from families, children not knowing what their futures are going to involve, uncertainty, fear, these things last lifetimes. And speaking of lifetimes, when I was in the 1980s, I worked in Guatemala and El Salvador for an organization promoting nonviolence and supporting those who were fighting back against the disappearances that happened in the 1980s in Guatemala. These refugees are the children and grandchildren of the people that I took human rights testimony from in the 1980s. I've been able to do two psychological evaluations for asylum cases in the last year. So I got to hear an update on what it's like in Guatemala and El Salvador from two people who were looking for asylum in the United States. So I have a very clear view of both the trauma that drives these refugees to the border and the trauma that's happening at the border and what the aftermath will be. So as a mental health provider, it feels critical to me to stand up against the trauma that is beginning today and will last for generations. Thank you. Yeah, thank you.
That last speaker was Karen Beadle. This was a report on the Families Belong Together rally in Albany on June 1st on Trump immigration policy of separating children from their parents while their cases are heard.
That interview was from our media partners at WOOCLP in Troy, New York, run by the Sanctuary for Media Art. Go to their SoundCloud page, Media Sanctuary, or their Facebook page or web page for the Sanctuary for Independent Media for more information or to hear that full interview.
I was toting my pack along the dusty Winnemucca Road when along came a semi with a high and canvas covered load.
When you're tired of your toys and of your games from the television, when you're done with chores and homework and it's time to make a big decision, you might need a change of scenery. It might be time to go over mountains, over oceans, through dark jungles down below. On an airplane, on a railroad, on a tall ship with a tide, all you need's a little music. How's about it? What do you say we buckle up and go for a little ride?
Let's go everywhere, man. Let's go everywhere, man.
I've been everywhere, man. I've been everywhere, man.
I was told
to my pack along the dusty Winnemucca Road. When along came a semi with a high-end canvas covered load. If you're going to Winnemucca, Mac, with me you can ride. So I climbed into the cab and then I settled down inside. He asked me if I'd seen a road with so much dust and sand. And I said, listen, bud, I've traveled every road in this here land. I've been everywhere, man, I've been everywhere, man. Across the deserts bare, man, I breathe the mountain air, man. I've traveled, I've had my share, man, I've been everywhere. Been a-
I wander everywhere.
GXC 90.7 FM, Accra.
All right, All Together Now. Ready?
All Together Now is a new evening news show brought to you by WGXC in Greene and Columbia counties and WOOC in Troy. The show is a unique community-based collaboration between listeners and programmers, both on air and off. If you want to get involved, send us an email at info@wgxc.org.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC News Update. I'm Philip Grant. Brian Nearing reports in the Albany Times-Union that Buckeye Albany Terminals has been fined $15,700 for two violations by the State Department of Environmental Conservation. The port terminals were fined for a vapor combustion unit letting out more pollution than legally allowed and for excessive emissions of total organic carbon from gasoline being loaded from a gasoline rack. According to a DEC statement, and I quote, DEC continues to work aggressively to investigate and respond to possible violations of environmental laws and regulations at this facility, end quote. A Buckeye spokesperson said the company self-reported the problems and was cooperating with the DEC. And you can read that full story in the Albany Times-Union. The Mid-Hudson News Network reports that New York Senator Charles Schumer wants the federal officials to, and I quote, quickly finalize, end quote, volatility standards of rail shipments of crude. Schumer sounded off on the issue to the Departments of Transportation and Energy after new data from the U.S. Energy Information Administration emerged about crude oil shipments. Schumer said, and I quote, it finds the amount of crude by rail moving through New York was declining, now is back on the rise, end quote. We have a bunch of accidents in the last few years. Every one of them has had Bakken crude in it, and the Federal Railroad Administration has cited high vapor pressure as one of the potential causes of these kinds of crashes, end quote. CSX route maps show crude oil shipments from western New York through the Mohawk Valley to the Capital Region and then south along the Hudson River to refineries in New Jersey and the Pennsylvania area. Currently, crude oil prices are $18.13 higher than a year ago. And you can read that full story at the Mid-Hudson News Network. Chris McKenna reports at the Fray that Democrat Gareth Rhodes picked up two more union endorsements this week in his attempt to win the Democratic nomination to take on Representative John Faso, the Republican of Kinderhook, in November. Teamsters Local 445 and Local 456 endorse Rhodes this week, who was previously backed by the Communications Workers of America Local 1120. Brian Flynn was recently endorsed by the Transport Workers Union, the only other major union endorsement among the seven candidates running in the June 26 primary. Barry Russell, principal officer of Local 445, said in a press release of the Rhodes campaign, and I quote, "Garrett's working-class upbringing here in New York 19, his hard-working farming and drilling wells, putting himself through college, record of public service, and lifelong commitment to labor unions make him the candidate that organized labor can rally behind to beat John Faso. His approach to going to all 163 towns in New York 19 shows his commitment to representing all the working people of this community that no candidate can come close to," end quote. And you can read that full story at The Fray. The Mid-Hudson News Network reports that on June 6, the Ulster County Conservative Committee endorsed Sheriff Paul Van Blarkum for re-election in November. Van Blarkum is a Democrat who did not get his own party's nomination. Instead, Ulster County Democrats backed former state trooper Juan Figueroa. Republicans and the Independence Party also endorsed Van Blarkum, who is running in the Democrat primary, too. He told conservative committee members on June 6, and I quote, "I made a promise 12 years ago to be the best sheriff of Ulster County to all our residents that I could be. I continue that promise," end quote. And you can read that full story in Mid-Hudson News Network. This has been the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. For more news, weather, and other information, go to the WGXC Newsroom website, WGXC.org.
I am Big Vern Hud City. What's good with you? I got the boys in the house with me. And fellas, we are in the middle of the pledge drive. Mm-hmm. So don't start yet. Don't start it until I get this right, man. Let me do what I'm supposed to do here. Let's go.
So, I mean, you know, we usually only ask you guys for supporting and listening to our shows and the different programs that come on WGXC. But, you know, when it's pledge drive time, we need you to kick in and support a little bit more than you normally do. So if you would like to hear us continue to be on the radio, continue to have great shows that are appearing right here on WGXC 90.7 FM, please donate. Any amount helps a lot. Doesn't matter, you're not locked into that. 518-697-7400, or you can go online to wgxc.org/donate. If you want to be gracious enough to get a tour of the studio and you want to do that in person, you can come to the Hudson studio. It's at 369 Warren Street on the 4th Street side, Hudson, New York, 12534. Or you can even mail your donations in to WGXC in care of Wave Farm, 5662 Route 23, Agra, New York, 12405. Pledge, pledge, pledge. Keep us on the air. Show your love and your support.
That's Ray. You did that, dog.
Appreciate you. It's been a minute since I did that.
Yeah.
Next, we have these reports.
Thanks,
10-4. You're listening to radio news about radio waves. Headlines from the ether. Headlines.
New York Times reports that sound may be a cause of a mysterious ailment infecting American diplomats and their families in China recently. This report comes after the 2016 case of American embassy employees and their family members in Cuba falling ill with headaches, nausea, hearing loss, cognitive issues, and other symptoms after they reported hearing odd sounds. The result in Cuba was colder relations between the Cuban and U.S. governments. These new sound attacks come as U.S. leaders wonder if the Chinese are undermining relations with North Korea. The Times article seems to float the possibility that China or Russia could be responsible for the attacks. The article says, quote, "The injuries in Cuba, like those in China, followed disturbing sensations of sounds and vibrations that have been described variously as the noises made by cicadas, static metal sheets waving, or, in one case, marbles rolling around a metal funnel," unquote. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo said this week he is creating a healthcare task force to examine, quote, "the unexplained health incidents that have affected a number of U.S. government personnel and family members stationed overseas," unquote. I'm Tom Rowe reporting for Wave Farm Standing Wave Radio and WGXC.
Hi, I'm Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now!, heard weekday mornings here at 8 o'clock on WGXC 90.7 FM. WGXC is hosting its pledge drive, and we need your support. Help keep hands-on creative community radio alive in your region by calling 518-697-7400. That's 518-697-7400. Or you can pledge online with your tax-deductible pledge at wgxc.org/donate. That's wgxc.org/donate. Help WGXC meet its goal and keep local, national, and international news broadcasting in Greene and Columbia counties. Thanks so much.
Next, it's time for the Hudson Valley Song of the Day, a performance from a musician visiting the Capital Region or Hudson Valley, or who regularly plays around these parts.
The Coxsackie Athens Community Band performed at the Athens Riverside Park on June 6, 2018. Here's a little bit of that performance recorded by Larry Stiles. Thank you.
Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now!, your daily grassroots, global, unembedded, independent, international investigative news hour, broadcasting live every weekday morning at 8 here on WGXC 90.7 FM in Greene and Columbia counties.
I'm Philip Grant, one of the contributors to All Together Now. Listen to Democracy Now! In the morning and All Together Now! In the evening, WGXC's collaborative hour-long news show at 6 p.m., featuring local and regional news, weather updates, and newsmaker interviews on WGXC 90.7 FM, listener-supported hands-on radio.
Democracy Now! At 8.
All Together Now! At 6 p.m.
here on WGXC 90.7 FM.
Next, the national headlines from Public News Service.
The Public News Service Daily Newscast for Thursday, June the 7th, 2018. I'm Mike Clifford. The election primary results seen as a boost to environmental justice in California. Also on the Thursday rundown, Sinclair Broadcasting to face protesters at today's shareholder meeting. And a look at how Medicaid expansion in Virginia is helping cardiovascular patients. Topping our news, Lieutenant Governor Gavin Newsom, the former San Francisco mayor who Politico reports spent nearly 8 years as an understudy to Governor Jerry Brown, secured a spot Tuesday night in the November general election to succeed the termed-out governor. Newsom will face John Cox, a Republican businessman who moved to California only a few years ago. Politico adds that California's outnumbered GOP voters coalesced around Cox after President Trump tweeted an endorsement of him late in the campaign. He was running second in Tuesday's primary with 26% of the vote, behind Newsom's 34%. Meantime, the election results are trending positive for environmental justice in California. Suzanne Potter reports on the likely defeat of Proposition 70 and the passage of Proposition 68.
Prop 70 would have required a two-thirds majority for the state legislature to appropriate funds for climate change-related projects. Lucas Zucker is with the Central Coast Alliance United for a Sustainable Economy, which successfully fought off a power plant proposed for Oxnard. He says Prop 70 would have been an obstacle to climate projects that fight air pollution, which disproportionately plagues communities of color.
We fought hard to stop this corporate attack on California's climate action because for us, the climate crisis is very real and very personal. We're campaigning against Prop 70 because these clean air programs have been critical for us to provide benefits like public transit service in our community, and we couldn't let them be sabotaged by legislative gridlock.
Proposition 68 is a bond measure that would raise $4.1 billion for increased outdoor recreation opportunities, water projects, and land conservation, mostly in low-income areas. Opponents said it would be unwise for California to take on more debt.
Shareholders of the Sinclair Broadcast Group are holding their annual meeting outside of Baltimore today. They'll be met by protesters who are fighting the network's proposed merger with Tribune Media. More from Ross Brown.
Free Press Action Fund, which is suing the Federal Communications Commission, will announce a nationwide series of actions urging decision makers at the Department of Justice and FCC to reject the deal. Dana Floberg with the Media Reform Group says a Tribune deal would give the right-leaning Sinclair control of more than 233 local TV stations, including four in the Minneapolis-St. Paul market, reaching 72% of the country's population and 39 of the top 50 media markets.
Recently, the FCC has made so many dramatic changes to its broadcast rules that seem designed specifically to allow this unprecedented merger.
Earlier this year, Sinclair was criticized after it was revealed anchors at its affiliate stations were forced to read a prepared script denouncing fake news and false reporting in the national media.
Sinclair is the largest local TV operator in the U.S. and owns 193 local stations in 89 markets. By the way, the network has a track record for refusing to air news critical of the Trump administration and hiring commentators who are Trump supporters. Free Press will be joined at today's rally by representatives from Color of Change, Common Cause, and others. A lawsuit filed Wednesday asks a federal court to stop the addition of a citizenship question on the 2020 census. Andrea Sears reports a lawsuit was filed by the American and New York Civil Liberties Unions on behalf of immigrant rights organizations.
The suit charges that the order to include the question intentionally discriminates against immigrants and undermines the constitutional mandate to accurately count the entire population. According to NYCLU Executive Director Donald Lieberman, the question would discourage immigrants from participating, and that could have disastrous consequences for places such as New York.
Our political representation would be artificially reduced because the numbers of people based on which representation is determined would be reduced. And our share of government services would also be artificially reduced.
The U.S. Justice Department asked for the citizenship question to be added, claiming it would help with enforcement of the voting law.
Defendants in the lawsuit are the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, Commerce Secretary Ross, and the U.S. Census Bureau. And finally, Tramell Gomes tells us the expansion of Medicaid in Virginia is a huge boost to those with cardiovascular disease, one of the top causes of death in the state.
After 4 years of back and forth over the expansion, Governor Northam is expected to sign the state budget today that would extend health care to more than 400,000 people across the state. Over the past few years, the Republican-controlled legislature pushed back on expansion, believing the extra health care would add unwanted expenses to the budget. Dr. Sean Chakrabarty says the passage of the bill will save hundreds of lives.
All those patients with high blood pressure, diabetes, high cholesterol, smokers can all get into the medical care system that they couldn't access before.
State budget leaders expect Northam to sign the budget without amendment at 2:30 this afternoon on the south portico of the Capitol. The expansion will also help thousands of children across the state who deal with heart issues at a very young age. Over 40,000 children nationwide deal with various forms of heart ailments that need to be treated, yet not all have the opportunity.
In November, Idaho, Nebraska, and Utah will also vote on similar Medicaid expansion that would boost the total number of states with Medicaid expansion to 36. I'm Mike Clifford, and you've been newsing and cruising with Public News Service. We are member and listener supported and online at publicnewsservice.org.
Here is the regional weather forecast for the Hudson Valley and Capital Region.
Hi, everybody. This is Dan from the Battlefield Earth Program. Have you donated yet to the radio station WGXC? Well, it's as easy as going to WGXC.org and hitting the donate button. It's like picking a chocolate out of a baby's hair. Please remember, we need you so that you can need us. WGXE.org.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC Late Afternoon Weather Report. The National Weather Service in Albany is predicting a partly sunny afternoon with a temperature high near 71 degrees, a south wind around 9 miles an hour. For tonight, patchy fog after 5 a.m., otherwise partly cloudy with a low around 54 degrees. The forecast for the next 2 days, on Friday, patchy fog before 8 a.m., otherwise mostly sunny with a high near 77. Friday night, partly cloudy with a low around 54. On Saturday, partly sunny with a high near 77 degrees. And on Saturday night, partly cloudy with a low around 53. This has been the WGXC Hands-On Radio Afternoon Weather Update.
Tune in the early morning hours, Friday, June 8th, for Taryn's Free Jazz Hour at 1 a.m., radio news at 5 a.m., overnight on Wave Farm, Standing Wave Radio, and WGXC.
Coming up on the WGXC 90.7 FM community program schedule for Friday, June 8th, Tom Rowe kicks off day three of WGXC's Radio Everywhere Pledge Drive, live from ACRA on the WGXC Morning Show, followed by Frederick Arnold with City Folk from 11 until noon. And at 2 Hudson Valley Sound, WGXC's new weekly show featuring local music and poetry with live performances and interviews. Later on at 9:30, the Friday Night Vibe Session hosted by DJ Var until midnight.
Consider making a donation to the WGXC Spring Pledge Drive, Summer Pledge Drive, 518-697-7400. You can't tell if it's spring or summer around here. 518-697-7400 is the number to call, or go online to wgxc.org/donate and make a donation to keep local radio live and local.
There are so many events on the WGXC community calendar online at wgxc.org, and you can add your own by pressing the Add an Event button right there on the page. If you do, folks like me will read your community event on the radio. Folks around the world will see it online at wgxc.org, including some of these events.
The Chairs are at PS21 in Chatham on Friday, June 8th. It's the Actors Ensemble presenting a stage reading featuring actors Fern Sloan and Ted Pugh. Their interpretation of Ionescu's absurdist tragic farce, The Chairs. PS21 in Chatham, 8 p.m. Friday, June 8th. The Half Moon in Hudson has a show Friday, June 8th with Free Range, Miss Boogie, Zasha, Young Wavy Fox. Night of Black Queer Performance from Rap, R&B, and DJs. The Half Moon in Hudson, Friday, June 8th. Also Friday, June 8th, Kyle and the Pity Party, The Tins and Global Lamp perform at BSP in Kingston. The Wild Weeds are at Hilo in Catskill, Friday, June 8th. There should be a live web stream of that, too. Iris Dement is at Club Helsinki in Hudson, Friday, June 8th. And then Saturday, June 9th, the WGXC Yard Sale, the annual WGXC Yard Sale, is out at the Wave Farm in Acre, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m., Saturday, June 9th. Come out, make a donation during the WGXC Pledge Drive, maybe find some thrift find at the WGXC Yard Sale, Saturday, June 9th, 5662 Route 23 in Acre. There's also the Northeast Fiddlers Convention, Saturday, June 9th, at the Hancock Shaker Village, Pittsfield, Massachusetts. Bill and the Bells with Nils Fredlund host the Northeast Fiddlers Convention, Saturday, June 9th. Al Roker will be at the Chatham Bookstore, Saturday, June 9th from 5 to 7 p.m. Reading from his latest book, Ruthless Tide, The Heroes and Villains of the Johnstown Flood. The Dylan Perello Orchestra performs at the Bridge Street Theater, Saturday, June 9th. 11-piece big band from Albany, New York. At Catskills Bridge Street Theater, Saturday, June 9th at 7:30 p.m. The Chairs is back at PS21 in Chatham, Saturday, June 9th. And guitarist Maria Zemontowski performs classical and Spanish and flamenco songs at the Valencia Community Theater, Saturday, June 9th. The Sweet Clementines, Dean Jones, Hockett Ensemble, and Ella Ray perform at BSP in Kingston, Saturday, June 9th. And Boss Hogg is at Club Helsinki in Hudson, Saturday, June 9th. Heart's Content Ensemble is at the Bridge Street Theater, Sunday, June 10th. With Caitlin Oppolit on flute, Jonathan Byron Wooden on cello, Laurie Frankel on oboe, Thomas Conan on violin, Ed Caltry on clarinet and flute, David Wooden on violin and viola. The Heart's Content Ensemble, Sunday, June 10th at 2 p.m. at the Bridge Street Theater in Catskill. These events and more on the WGXC community calendar online at wgxc.org. Call the WGXC feedback line anytime, 518-291-9492. If you have something to say about something you heard on WGXC, give us a call right at audio letter to the editor. Call in at 518-291-9492. Leave a 3-minute message and we'll play it back on All Together Now. That's 518-291-9492. To leave an audio letter to the editor at 518-291-9492. WGXC at 518-291-9492.
Unhappy about something you heard on All Together Now?